Simon, yes.
Let's do it.
You're rocking out with X360 FM.
Please stay turned up.
Your favorite radio station.
Rocking all through the streets.
Keep it on lock. It's X in a fact. Full circle.
Welcome to Stronger Than Failure, where we provide you with in-depth interviews with entrepreneurs on their struggles, victories, goals, and how they got started. We also give you the best tips, hacks, and information on sales, network marketing, credit, and mindset mastery. Now, here's your host, entrepreneur and author, Danny Cole.
What's up, Stronger Nation, and welcome back to another episode of Stronger Than Failure. I am your host, Danny Cole, and with me is Blake, the mean, lean, building muscle machine, Barber.
Oh, I love you.
Boy, you are looking amazing, just so you know.
Man, I'm trying. I'm trying to be like you, baby.
I don't know if there's any trying. You're making it happen. In a moment, I want you to tell everybody seriously, because you've gotten leaner, but you look bigger.
Yeah, I have actually lost weight.
Really?
Believe it or not, yeah.
How much weight have you dropped?
10 pounds.
10?
Yeah.
So what are you weighing at?
185.
That's what I'm trying to
186
get.
186.
Yeah. I'm at 200. Just so you know.
Yeah. And all I did was just cut out grains. Cut out grains and processed foods.
Really?
That's it, man.
Now, so you're going to like, totally like, just taking out completely? Or
No. What I did is I just cut it out on Monday through Friday, right?
Okay.
Just to be kind of strict. And I cheat just a little bit on the weekends, you know, just to kind of have a little bit of fun, to stay human. But that's all I did. Everything else I kept the same. Just eating whole foods Monday through Friday. And 10 pounds, man. Nothing in a box, a bag, or a can.
That is awesome.
And if it comes from a restaurant, I try to keep it remotely healthy. You know, I'm like a salad with vinaigrette type of thing.
There you go.
And then on the weekends, like I said, I'll
do you go overboard on the weekends?
Don't go overboard. You know, maybe a cheat meal on Saturday, a cheat meal on Sunday, or two. You know, like I said, because I feel like I keep it so clean during the week, I can cheat a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, last weekend, I actually went to a gun show, and these right here, baby, won best in show. Pow!
Oh, just so you know, everybody, he's pulling up his daggone big guns. Yeah, I'm going to leave my jacket.
So, yeah, I noticed that when I lose weight, though, what happens is the waist gets smaller, and then everything else looks bigger. So even though you're weighing less, you look bigger. Because I get that in the gym now. I'm getting comments about, what are you doing to gain weight? And I'm like, dude, I'm losing weight.
Wow.
So it's all about perception.
Well, dude, seriously, you're looking good. You're looking lean. You're looking bigger. You look good.
Well, yeah, it's because I'm wearing these extra small scrubs, too. So, yeah.
Always works. I feel extra small. Everybody's like, get rid of that your little brother's shirt, man. Put on your...
So how about you, man? Tell me about, because you had a little bit of exciting news now as far as your, gosh, this car lot's taking forever, man. What's going on?
It is taking a while, right? And the guest today, we're going to talk a lot about that whole business.
Can't
there.
Wait.
But I got the deal license almost impact, right? They were almost ready to roll. I had to have the fire marshal come out and do the inspection on the office yesterday. And then today, it's, well, no, 2 days ago. Fire marshal came out, then somebody else came out yesterday, so sending the packet in, and we're about to run full force with it. So it will be next week. I know I told you last week a week, but we had to wait for the fire marshal.
And you know, that's a really good point. Just for the listeners out there who are, you know, giving thought to a brick and mortar location, whatever the type of business it may be, what just a real quick little check off of these types of, when you mention the inspections, what could somebody expect that they would need to put down on their checkoff list as far as inspections?
I do. You know, we've got the office space over in Jonesboro.
Right.
And it's just a smaller little office, just having the office front for the auto brokers. And later on, we'll be doing a lot like the guy we're going to have on the show today we're talking about.
Can't wait.
But, you know, really the way it was already set up there, the reason it took us so long, we'll start there. The reason it took us so long was just not having everything in place. We was going to try to do it on our own, save a little bit of time, money. But as you already know, pay somebody who knows what they're doing, who's experienced with it, and it'll get done a lot quicker.
Amen.
Yeah, sometimes it's just not easy trying to cut corners due to taking all the responsibility on yourself, because by doing that, you take your focus off of what you're good at, and you're taking longer to make money.
Yeah.
And that's all it's been doing. So long story short, folks, whether you're opening up a brick and mortar, whatever you're doing with business, use other people's experience, use their resource, use resources you have available to you, because your network will determine your net worth. Yep. So use your network to help you grow your business, and don't take on all the hats.
Yeah.
So
to that point, when I first started my very first business, I tried to do a lot of those hats myself as far as taxes, payroll, and I it's a full-time job above and beyond what you're already doing. And I learned the hard way after trying to save that bit of money. It's so much more cost effective to just pay somebody, like you said, to do it.
Yeah. Delegate it
up to do what you're good at.
Yep. And so That is great, and we're about to find out a little bit more about that right there with our guest.
Can't wait, I'm ready.
Blake, you're going to love this right here, because this man here does a lot of different, he wears a lot of different hats, but I'm sure he delegates a lot of it out as well.
I do.
Do you? All right, folks, get ready, because we have got Brian Morgan on the show. Now, Brian, now I'm going to throw it out there. Brian graduated from Creekside. The reason that's important, because that's where I graduated from.
Creekside?
There we go. Oh, I love
Derwin.
It.
Derwin. What?
So this man graduated from Creekside. He's an amazing father of four. He's an amazing husband. He's got three businesses that he's got. So, man, he
three?
Does three.
And four kids.
And four kids.
And yeah. He keeps a wife happy.
I don't say he's got the time.
What?
Okay, that's what I'm saying. He's got to delegate some things out.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Won't delegate her out.
All right, folks, without further ado, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brian Morgan. Thank you for having me. Blessed to be here.
Bro, I'm glad you're here, man. So, first, dude, I want to start out because you've got a lot on the plate there. Like,
I do.
Now, being an entrepreneur, is that something that you always wanted to do, or how did you become an entrepreneur?
Man, it's something that I've been doing, I believe, since around 8 years old.
Really?
Wow.
8 years old.
I want to hear that story.
Yeah.
At 8 years old, my father already had me cutting the grass, and one of my friends was like, hey, you want to go come cut our grass? My mom said she'll pay you. And so from that point on, we went and cut his grass. His mom gave us 20 bucks, 10 for the front, 10 for the back. I started walking around the neighborhood, knocking on doors. Hey, can I cut your grass? 10 for the front, 10 for the back. And, you know, before long, I had 10 houses, and I was just cutting grass every weekend.
Dude, you were only eight?
And I was eight.
That is awesome.
How about that? That's a pretty good story, yep.
And it just kind of went from there. When I was 10, I believe we moved from the house into some apartments, and I was like, okay, what am I going to do to get money? And so I started selling candy. And I did that for a little while until the apartment manager's like, hey, all these kids are leaving candy on the ground. You can't sell candy anymore. And it was just like, it just kind of grew from there. Like, okay, well, what can I do? Because I was used to making money at that point. And it was always, I was always like, okay, well, what can I do to make money? And so I think I got my first job at 13 at the Georgia Renaissance Festival. And making $4.25 an hour.
Ballin'.
But yeah, man, just been working hard ever since.
Dude,
just
I love it. That's one thing that, you know, most of our guests have not said, like, as far as that young, that they started doing things.
Right.
Now, question real quick for you, Blake. When was your first entrepreneurial job? Like, what, like, little kid wise or whatever?
Cutting grass too, yeah.
Really?
But just neighbors. I didn't have 10 yards. I had the lady across the street and the lady next door.
There you go.
But this dude was making some Mac because I was getting paid $5 for the front and back.
No, I was getting paid 10.
Yeah, you were.
Ten for the front and 10 for the back.
Yeah, 10 front, 10 back. It's not $5.
And I was using my own lawnmower.
And that was what the lady offered me. I didn't really know any better. I was just like, okay. And, I just started knocking on doors. And it was a pretty nice-sized neighborhood. And I would just go push my lawnmower up. Hey, knock on the door. Hey, you need your grass
old are you, Brian?
I'm 39.
Oh, well, that's why, because, you know, back in the 50s when I was doing it was $5 was big.
Oh, okay. So,
he had to redeem himself.
I wasn't stupid.
I was getting top dollar back in the day. Had to walk up hills both ways to cut that grass.
Barefoot.
And it was snowing.
Right.
No motor.
Oh, now, man, all right, so the car business, I'm really interested in the whole car business, right? Because I'm about to start mine up right now.
Okay,
so
congratulations.
I appreciate that, dude. Like, how did you get started? And just go there, then we'll come up with questions, right? So how did you get started with this?
Okay, my father sold cars for about 25 years.
Oh, really?
With a dealership?
Yes, with a dealership. And my cousin was just looking for something to do, and my father was just like, man, you ought to sell cars. And that's what he started to do. He did it for a nice long while. And then he just kept telling me, like, cuz, I'm finna start my own. I'm just finna go ahead and get my own dealership. I was like, okay.
This your cousin said this?
This is my cousin. He was like, I was like, all right. And he was like, you know, nah, cuz, for real, I'm gonna go get my own dealership. And eventually he called me, same thing you did, one parking spot. a building, auto brokering, and his friend actually owned the lot that we're at now, and he was looking to sell. And my cousin called me like, "Cuz, you think you wanna do something with the car lot?" It's like, well, how's it going? And he's like, "Man, you know, it could be better, but it's going." And you know, just kind of at that point, I just kind of took a leap of faith. I withdrew some money out my 401k, and next thing I knew it, I had 10 cars on the lot.
Dude, that's awesome. Now, real quick, just for the listeners, like, where's your lot at, just so they know where you're at?
It's in Lithia Springs, South Sweetwater Road, kind of between Thornton Road and Lee Road.
Okay, well, I know that. Veteran, I sell cars at CarMax over there, man.
Veterans Memorial is kind of the next cross street.
Gotcha, cool. Mm-hmm. All right, now... So you bought? Did you go out and buy just cash the first 10 cars, or did you do, you know, they got the floor plan. They got different things that they can do with car lots, right? So did you just take the money out and just go cash money?
Just cash money. At that point, a lot of the times with the floor plans, you have to be in business for a certain amount of time, and then you have to do a certain amount of vehicles before they allot you that credit.
Okay.
So at that point, I mean, he was doing okay, but I just went ahead and cashed out my 401k, and not, I didn't cash completely out, but I took a loan out on my 401k, and I just went and purchased vehicles from the auction.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, and at first, they weren't the best vehicles. Actually, the auction that we were going to was a junkyard auction. So, you know, we were buying vehicles $600, $700, and just kind of grew from there. You know, you buy them, get them fixed up, try to sell them for a profit, and everything just kind of worked out good, and feel like God just put me in a good position.
Dude, God is good.
Yeah.
Now, real quick, as far as, because like you said, there's some junkyard auctions. Like, tell our listeners, because a lot of them do not know, like, what type of auctions can you get these cars for the car lot from?
Okay. The auctions that I know about, like I said, the junkyard auctions. You also have public auctions, and then you have dealer license auctions, where you have to have your dealer license to go in. That's the Mannheim you see off of Buffington Road, and Odessa, not too far from here, off of Oakley Industrial, where you have to have your dealer's license to go and purchase the vehicles. And they have a certain range of vehicles, in-op, which is vehicles that are inoperable, and then they have red light vehicles that are operable but something is wrong with them, and then they also have green light vehicles, which are showroom ready for the most part.
There you go. Uh-huh. And see, that's one thing as far as me and my business partners, what we're gonna be focused on is the green light ready to roll. You know, we're not trying to make a lick on each one. It's a matter of like between $500 to $1,000 per car, boob, and just knocking it out. It's gonna be volume, good cars, and just punching it out that direction.
Exactly. That's one thing that I learned about it, that every car is not going to make you $1,000,000 or $1,000 or whatnot. Sometimes you just have to move the unit, and then sometimes you will make a nice purchase on the car. I mean, a nice return on the vehicle. Now, what I did not know is the way that the bank works when you sell the car. I was always thinking, like, if I sold a car for $10,000, then the bank's going to cut me a check for $10,000, and it doesn't work that way. The bank is going to cut you a check for what they feel the car is worth and what they feel the customer is worth. So the better the customer, the better the check.
Okay, see, now I didn't understand that right there, because I thought the same thing, where, okay, this car, here's a 10 grand car, 8 grand car, whatever the situation is. All right, boom. You bring the invoice to the bank, and they cut you the check.
It does not work that way. I wish it did.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I know you can't just overcharge somebody. I sold cars for years.
Right.
But if it's in the price range and everything was good, I thought they were going to cut the check. Right.
They're going to cut you a check based on the value of that car.
Okay.
Not necessarily the selling price and the value of the customer. Like I said, the better the customer, the better the check. Yeah. If you have a customer with a high credit score, then of course they're going to cut you a better check, because they feel like the customer is going to keep their credit score higher, and they're going to be more willing to pay, and they're going to make all of the money that they expect to make. Whereas you have a customer that just had a repo last year, they might cut you a check $500-$600 above what you actually paid for the car. Might move the vehicle just to try to get it done.
Now, when you say cut a check, you guys are talking about the final sales price of the car. regardless of what you're asking for. So because you're asking 10, that don't mean the bank's going
to give you 10.
Going to finance 10
exactly.
based on
exactly.
the purchaser, based on the buyer.
It's, and their credit. Based on the purchaser and based on the value of that vehicle.
Roger that. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, so that was interesting because I was like, when I first saw it, like, what are they doing? Like, well, I think I sold a Dodge Ram was my first bank deal. And I sold the Ram for $10,000, and they cut me a check for $4,500.
Oh, really?
So where's the other 55 go from?
The bank, man. That's the real money makers, man. We all need banks.
But my question is, because I'm a little confused. So where does the other $5,500 come from the sale of the car?
So if you sold the car for 10, the bank's only cutting you for 45. Then where's the other 55?
The bank.
You just said the bank only gave you 45.
The bank gives me 45, and when the customer ends up paying the $10,000, the $10,000 goes to the bank. Plus the interest, whatever interest rate they charge.
All right, so what you're saying, so you got the car for $10,000. So the bank's only going, you're selling it for 10, doesn't matter. The bank says you're not going to get that. We're going to give you $4,500.
We're going to give you $4,500 for the car.
But since you're selling it for 10, we're going to take the extra $5,500?
We're taking the extra $5,500 and the interest.
Ah.
That sounds like a mobster type deal.
So, if you go to the auction and you pay $5,000 for a car, and you sell it for $12,000 and the bank only gives you $6,000.
I only made $1,000 on the car.
But the bank gets the rest.
And the bank gets the rest.
Okay, see.
And it's crazy because the bank will loan you the money to get the car. So they'll make money all the way around. They will loan you money to get the car, charge you interest, charge you fees, turn around and sell the car for $12,000, like you said. Then you only get $6,000 of that. And then if everything goes well, they'll collect the whole $12,000 plus the interest that they charge you, plus the fees that they charge you, plus the interest that they charge the customer.
So I'm hearing this right, Dan? Because yes. I'm just trying to process what I'm hearing, because I know the average listener out there don't know this either. Because I feel like I'm fairly well educated. I'm not an idiot, and I bought a lot of cars, but I didn't know that.
I had no idea either until I got in the car business.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
You're in the car business. You didn't know that?
Well, see, I sold cars for years. Like, we're talking about like buy here, pay here right now, right? So
buy here, pay
here lots. And so, yeah, and what he's saying is, you know, like if I'm going to the car auction to go buy a vehicle, the bank will loan me the money and they're going to charge me interest, right? So they're making money on that. And then if I bought a car for $5,000 and I'm going to sell it for 10, the bank says, oh, we're going to give you $6,000 for it. They're only going to pay me $1,000 extra. But they're going to still collect $10,000 from the buyer, and then all the interest on top of whatever they're charging.
But they feel like they're taking all the risk. So if they're taking all the risk, then they're reaping all the rewards.
So the car lot's the wrong business to be in. Y'all need to be in banking.
Yes, sir. I mean,
that's going to be a little more difficult to get in.
A lot more difficult. But if you do well, you know, who knows?
Or I guess another term is loan sharking. So that's why you see all these Title Max and all that mess out here on every corner, because them rascals are clearing up.
Yes.
Bro, they're making a ton. You got to have a lot of money bankroll to start one of those businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But once you've got that money bankroll and you can do it, dude, you're making a ton. I remember it's probably been 20 years ago. I talked to a guy at the bank, and he said that a guy he went to school with, his wife had some money, whatever, so he took a loan out with her family and started up, you know, with the Title Maxes or whatever it was. He said, like, within a year, he said, this dude was a multimillionaire. He said, the guy comes in, collects his money, and he's on vacation every day of the year.
So you pass these Title Max on every corner, and there's never a car in the parking lot.
Never.
There's never, and I'm thinking, how do these things stay in business? But all they need is one customer a month.
Dude, it's...
Yeah, and the interest rate on those things are ridiculous.
Okay. I'm sorry to get off topic.
No.
You really, really took me sideways, man. Okay.
So what if you straight cash buy a car? Say you got $10,000 cash.
Oh, man, that's my favorite customer.
Right.
A straight cash customer.
No, I'm saying so far as you want to say you want to put a car on your lot, and you go out and you pay straight cash $10,000 for it.
Okay.
You don't go to the bank for the loan.
Right.
And then it end up getting financed from a bank.
The bank is still gonna give me what they value the car at.
Okay.
So like I was saying, the first 10 cars that I bought weren't bank financed as far as the bank giving me the money, I went and cashed them out. But once I did my first bank deal, as far as I had the bank financing at the car lot that the customers could use, I think I paid $3,200 for the car. And I, like I said, I sold it for $10,000. They cut me a check for $45,000. I mean, I was still kind of happy. I was like,
You still
like, mate,
you know, but I was like, where's the rest of my money? Like, what do you mean?
That's why people do the buy here, pay here lots, because now they're taking all the risk, but they're also reaping all the benefit.
On the buy here, pay here, it's a little tricky, but if you find you pretty good customers, you do reap all the benefits. But it's hard to find good customers on buy here, pay here, because they're buy here, pay here for a reason.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, you know, you have to put your GPSs in them, just to say the least. Like, you know, but it's if you find you good customers, then you know you'll reap the benefits. And it's a lot of different ways to maneuver a buy here, pay here. Some guys sell, like they build up a catalog of 30 cars that they have on the books, and then they go sell them. Some guys rent them. It's some banks that are rent your car loan for 6 months. They'll give you 6 month advance on the car note, and then they'll collect for 6 months, of course, minus interest, and then you'll retain your loan back once that 6 months is up. But that would allow you to go buy another car. Let's say you put a car out there for that you paid $2,500 for, and you have it on a $400 a month car note, and you go to the bank like, hey, can I rent this to you for 6 months? And then they give you $2,400 minus a few fees, then boom, you're able to go buy another vehicle and keep everything rolling.
Okay.
So it's a lot of different ways to maneuver around in it. But
well, talking about finding the right customers, so one, like, how long have y'all been in business? And mm-hmm. then what do y'all do as far as like promoting what you do? Like, how are y'all getting y'all's clients other than the drive-by?
We do get a lot of drive-by. We're kind of at a good red light. And we do a lot of social media marketing, a lot of internet marketing. Haven't done much radio, no TV, but just a lot of social media marketing, a lot of social media boosting, like not just the friends that we have, but we'll go ahead and boost the ads on Instagram, boost the ads on Let Go, boost the ads on Facebook. But it, you know, if you spend enough money, it's almost like running a TV commercial, because at some point, 9 out of 10 people are on social media.
Yeah. Well, dude, more people look at social media than they do television.
Exactly.
Everybody's at work kind of flipping through, or they're a red light flipping through. I mean, you see people all the time on their phone. So
exactly.
That's why Facebook is, I mean, they're getting huge. And from the information I keep seeing, like especially for Gary Vaynerchuk, he talks about if you can invest right now with Facebook doing your ads for your business, now's the time to do it, because soon that's where everybody's going to be going, and then their price is going to go through the roof. All the big players going to be coming in.
Yeah, so we do a lot of that. We do a lot of Facebook boosting, Instagram boosting, Let Go, OfferUp, just everywhere, anywhere we could think of, man.
Is there one that brings back more, you know, numbers than the others?
I would say Facebook.
Really?
I would say the Facebook marketplace, man. Because it is a marketplace, and people do go on there to look for vehicles. And so I probably get at least about 10 to 15 messages a day.
Oh, wow.
Off Facebook.
That's a good bit. Now, I was reading one of the car magazines the other day at the office, and it was saying that marketplace, I forgot the numbers, but there's millions of people that go there a month now. Like millions. So it's a lot of people that go there. So yeah, that's a great place to advertise.
It's an excellent place to advertise. Like I said, I get at least 10 to 15 messages a day. That don't always translate into a sale.
Yeah.
But, you know, as long as my phone is vibrating, then I feel like I'm in a good place, and I'm going to continue to make money.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Now, so how many cars do you have on the lot right now? Because I know you said you started out with 10.
Started out with 10, between 25 and 30.
That's a good bit.
Yeah, between 25 and 30.
And I'm sorry, I didn't hear earlier, but how long have you been in business for now?
Around 2 years. It's coming up on 2 years.
Well, dude, congrats on that. Yeah, you pretty much doubled, over doubled in 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, I came on January. So yeah, coming up in January, it'll be 2 years for me when I came on. I think my cousin had been at the location about 3 months.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So it's still right there in the very beginning.
And it's still rather new. We're still making mistakes. We're still learning. I know we were speaking of the floor plans or whatnot. Mm-hmm. My cousin does have a few floor plans. I think one of the mistakes that he made this year that he learned from, we all know tax season is coming up, and that's one of the busiest times for car sales. So loaded up before tax season, probably bought 25, 30 cars. Mm-hmm. Sold those 25, 30 cars and went right back and loaded back up. And
it wasn't tax season
anymore. It wasn't tax season anymore.
Now you're holding on to those units longer and longer.
Right. And so now you're holding on to those units longer. Of course, if you're holding on longer, the higher the interest that you're paying on them, because you're paying interest on them every single day.
Oh, so it's every day?
Every day that you have that vehicle out on the lot, you are paying interest on
it. Yeah, see, man, my aunt, like she started this a couple of years back. Her and I talked about it, and she's been in car sales for years. And so she started, she was going to start a car lot. And she did the floor plan. And again, like you said, you're still learning and growing. There's errors to be made, and you got to learn from them. Mm-hmm. She said what she did, and which kind of messed her up at the beginning, was going straight for the high line, right? $20,000, $30,000 cars.
Right.
Because she's like, all right, cool. These are the cars that are high line. People have got money. They're going to buy them. But she didn't realize at the time, not thinking about it, that when people are spending $20,000, $30,000 or more on a car, they're going to the dealership because there's more credibility there at that price point. Right. You know, you haven't been in business long enough to say, hey, I'm creditable. I got the reputation to come here. So it kind of sank her at the time.
Right. A lot of people, the floor plans sink a lot of people.
For those of us that don't know what that is, what exactly is a floor plan?
A line of credit from the bank.
Okay.
Line of credit from the bank to buy cars. That's the only thing it is. To buy cars for your car lot. And it's just a line of credit from the bank. But like I said, you're paying interest on those cars every single day. And then the bank is out there once every 10 days, hey, where's this car? And if the car's not there, they're like, well, can you send us a picture of it with, you know, tell you a little code word to put on by the VIN numbers? Yeah. Or, you know, if you're like, okay, the car's at the shop, we're like, okay, when you get it back, you need to send us a picture of it and put the code word, you know, Deer Park.
let me ask you a question, right? Mm-hmm. So, because with a floor plan, the banks are giving you the money.
Right.
But, of course, they interest every single day, which is going to be quite expensive.
Right.
Now, let's say you got a credit card like with, you know, 15% interest on it, right?
Uh-huh.
And you just go and buy a couple cars, put a couple grand on there.
Uh-huh.
Would you come out doing better putting on a credit card, buying them that way? Or would you come out better doing the floor plan?
That's a good question.
That is an excellent question. I guess it just depends on what your interest rate on the credit card is. And
Most of the time, it
depends on where you're at in business. Because if you're moving cars, the floor plan will probably be better. But if you're just starting out, I would probably say the credit card. Because once you have the car, it's no maximum of when you have to pay it. Like a lot of the floor plans, you have 120 days to pay that car off. So if you just went and spent, like you said, some high-end cars, $15,000. Let's say they give you $100,000 and you bought... you spent $75 on $15,000 cars. In 120 days, they want their $15,000 plus whatever their interest is. And so if you still have four of those out of those seven cars,
that's 60. Well, that's
then you have to come up with 60 grand. So that's how it sinks a lot of people.
Gotcha. Wow.
Like, that's how it sinks a lot.
They might not sell as quickly as you think they will.
It sinks a lot of people. You really have to be cautious with the floor plan. So when you're just getting started, I would suggest to probably do it with the credit card, because usually it's just a minimum that you have to pay every month.
Yeah.
And with the floor plans, it's a minimum that you have to pay every month. But at 120, some are different, 180 days. And sometimes they'll give you an extension. But, okay, where's my money? And then a lot of times what they do, they'll be in cahoots with the auction. If you don't have that money, they'll cut off your license. Boom. Now you can't even go to the dealer license and buy cars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Dude, see, I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I got you on the show. I'm learning, Blake.
It is serious, man. It's serious.
Class is in.
That is serious. Man. And another thing, there's fines every left, like just left and right that you get fined for. I mean, there's a lot that goes on in this business. And that's another reason a lot of people get sunk, because, you know, like, not having the buyer's guide in the window.
Buyer's guide, 10 grand, I believe.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Per car.
So now I have the buyer's guide in the window. Somebody comes up, the car? Is this one for sale? And you're like, yeah. Boom, 10 grand. Because a lot of times they'll be undercover just to see if you got everything, all your ducks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So they have little stickers that, like, this vehicle's not for sale, this vehicle's not for sale. But
I bought 250 yesterday.
Yeah. Like, if you look in the little car I just pulled up in, you look in the window, it's the buyer's guide. That was a car for life that I'm driving.
Yeah, I like that car.
Man, I love it.
Let me get him a deal on it.
It's good on gas. Yeah.
I saw that it had the front bumper on it, too.
It does.
See, Blake's done. Blake had it was raining one night. Dude, Blake got lucky. Like, it was raining, spun out. He wound up facing the opposite side of traffic and everything. The bumper's off in the road. So he's
wow.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Now, let's see here. Got started. He had 10 cars on the lot. What did y'all focus on, and where do you focus now as far as, like, prices of the cars? And is that a difference for you?
I was just kind of focusing on what I could afford at the time. I didn't have a ton of money that I was getting, and I was trying to focus on cars that I could sell from the $3,000 to $4,000 range. And I was looking more at cash, because when I first bought the cars, we didn't have the bank financing available, and I didn't feel like I had enough money to do the buy here, pay here. So I was just focusing on cars that I could sell cash.
Gotcha.
And $3,000 to $4,000 is what I felt like people would typically have to buy a pretty decent vehicle.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I focused on.
Now, did you do well doing that? And why did you jump up in price?
I did okay. It's growing pains and everything. It took me a long time to sell some of the cars.
Really?
And then I believe we just kind of went up in price because once we got the bank financing, it just kind of made more sense.
Yeah.
Because people that are, believe it or not, spending $3,000 or $4,000, man, they want it all, man. They want all the bells and whistles, the Bluetooth and everything like that. And so it just kind of made sense for us to kind of go up a little notch. So now I kind of focus on cars. That's going to cost me around $4,000 or $5,000.
Perfect. All right, man. Brian, dude, time went by quick, dude. So real quick, before we start closing out, I want you to tell everybody, you know, how they can contact with you, where they can see your cars at, and what you can do for them.
Okay. We are at 6655 South Sweetwater Road. That is Lithia Springs, Georgia. And you can always call me at 404-520-5994. I can get you in a vehicle. I know Danny pretty much has you sold up on the credit repair. I do a little bit of that on the side. And yeah, man, that's about it right now.
As far as, do you got a webpage, and what about Facebook?
Oh, yeah, we have a webpage, www.dealmakersautos.com. You can find me on Facebook, Brian Morgan, or you can also find the dealership on Facebook, Dealmakers Autos. And Instagram, Dealmakers Autos.
Yeah, we didn't even get to talk about the real estate gig or
That was fast.
Dude, it went by quick. Real estate and the trucking company.
Oh, trucking company. Yeah, we didn't get to talk about that.
The trucking.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, man, I appreciate you having me, man. And just give me a call anytime, and we can go into another chapter.
We're going to have to, because you got the two other business that you got, so we got to have you back out.
Right, okay. Let's do it.
All right, folks, so you heard in another incredible interview with Brian Morgan. This man does it all. And remember, folks, we love you. We appreciate you for tuning in. You are part of the Stronger family here. And remember, you are stronger than failure.
Stronger Than Failure, where we provide you with in-depth interviews with entrepreneurs on their struggles, victories, goals, and how they got started. We also give you the best tips, hacks, and information on sales, network marketing, credit, and mindset mastery. Entrepreneur and author, Danny Cole. Stronger Than Failure.